warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Welcome all Dragon Slayers. We're on the Lord's team.
Dragon Slayers.
The winning side, so raise your glass. Yeah, man, I've been meaning to do that for a while. Father Don Calloway calls fellow men Dragon Slayers.
Oh, okay.
And I did an interview with Father Don Calloway.
It's a lot cooler in that context.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Dungeons and Dragons or...
Oh, see, I don't even know. Yeah.
Something else.
That's not in my forte of Arsenal games, I guess.
Okay.
But anyway, he calls fellow men who pray the rosary Dragon Slayers. In fact,
I did
an interview with him, mm-hmm. and you can go back and check it out. It's on our podcast. Great interview. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, but is that one public?
Yeah,
is that one public domain?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And he sent me his book on the rosary.
Yeah.
And signed it to Adam, the Dragon Slayer, which is just awesome. So I've been meaning to call all of our fellow men who listen Dragon Slayers, because we know that they pray the rosary.
Yeah.
Via the warning, if they don't pray the rosary, that the manliness was probably too much for them.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Do you fit?
Yeah, I see.
Do you pick up what
I was lost
down?
For a second, but I'm with you now.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in our studio. And if you are listening to the Catholic Man Show for the first time, we do three things on the Catholic Man Show. Dave, I'll let you tell them what
Okay,
what
so the
is.
First thing that we do is open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage, which we will be getting to promptly. The second thing we do is highlight a man gear of some kind. This is something that every Catholic man should have and use. Probably you already do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing we do is have a discussion, a manly discussion. A discussion worthy of memory, of remembering. Of memorizing?
Yes.
Of memorializing?
Memorize our whole show.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
You should do it. But today we have a special guest with us.
Yes. We're following the trend that we've been having the last, I don't know.
Weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah. A few weeks.
So it's my pleasure to introduce Steve Kunzweiler.
Greetings.
Who is the DA here in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're swimming in a bigger pond these days than we used to be. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we got the big fish.
Yeah, that's true. So, Steve, welcome to the Catholic Man Show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you carved out a little time. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you carving out some time to hang out with us. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I think that our topic will kind of bleed into the understanding of why we have Steve on the show today.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and...
Yeah,
let's just go ahead and...
Okay.
Today we're going to be talking about justice, so... As the district attorney of Tulsa.
He knows a lot more about justice than we do. Or
yeah,
he deals with it a lot more than we do.
Mr. Kunzweiler, mm-hmm. as his opponents would probably refer to him mm-hmm. in the courtroom.
Or other names.
Or other names.
Outside the courtroom.
Right.
Yes, yes.
he would, you know, he knows about justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a good conversation.
So we're getting experts on.
One thing somebody asked me. Recently,
okay.
Why do you call it the studio?
Oh, okay.
And so I know we've mentioned it before. We should say it again, but
yeah.
Like Adam,
you can check it out. We'll be YouTube
if you
this.
Watch the video.
Yeah,
this is the study.
Mm-hmm. This is my study.
This is your study, but it's mm-hmm. also the studio, so it's mm-hmm. the studio.
That's why. That's why we call it the studio.
It's a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're drinking coffee.
Yeah, that's the man beverage.
Because it's Lent.
Yes, yes, men. It's a, I guess the second day of Lent.
I am sitting here in my sackcloth and ashes. I haven't showered in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm taking Lent pretty serious this year.
Looking very holy. Hold on, let me polish your halo.
Isn't that what the Bible says? Make sure everybody knows you're fasting.
Yeah, if you're fasting, make sure.
Do it publicly. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure everybody knows what you're.
It's evangelism.
Up. Yeah. You're.
That's right.
You're welcome, man. But yeah,
we're drinking coffee.
We're gonna drink coffee because this is our first time to drink a non-alcoholic beverage.
And Steve Kunzweiler here is drinking Dr. Pepper. Which,
yes,
true.
Which he's not a coffee guy.
He's not a coffee guy.
Not a coffee guy. I'm drinking the Chick-fil-A variety of Dr. Pepper.
Ooh,
good
so
one.
It's Christian Dr. Pepper.
Christian.
Yes.
It was very purposeful.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper, though, is totally my go-to. The 23 flavors. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd like them to list out those 23.
I would too. No, it's a secret. They can't tell you.
There's not 23.
There's easily 23. I think they may
flavors
or
ingredients.
Oh, there's like maybe 23 to the 23rd flavors in there.
This
okay.
is mind blowing. But
it is mind blowing. You are right.
The coffee we're drinking is going to be mind blowing because it's Mystic Monk coffee.
Right.
We need a cheers.
Cheers. Let's cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
So raise your glass.
Or a coffee mug.
Or a coffee mug. So we've been wanting to do coffee for a long, long time.
And we've had a lot of people ask us, like, hey, why don't you do
a
non-alcoholic beverage? And we're like, hold on. Pump the brakes. We're on our way. Like,
we've had
do
a
it.
Plan for coffee. We wanted yes. to wait and save it for Lent, for the first week of Lent.
Right.
And so here we are drinking coffee. This has been a long-term payoff to wait for the coffee. But
yeah,
here we are.
Because actually, most of the time for Lent... in fact, you have as well given up alcoholic beverages during Lent.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do it last year, and I'm not doing it this year.
I've decided I'm not going to do that this year either. But for the last, I think, 4 or 5 Lents, maybe, I've given up alcoholic beverages.
I did it in college, believe it or not.
That would be way harder.
It was hard. But remember, I went to the bar with you a couple times where... Yeah. I sat there and drank water. That was terrible. That was the worst.
It was good. It was good mortification.
How old were you guys when you were at the bar in college? I know. I'm just trying to figure that out.
Yeah, he's the DA. We were definitely over 21.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Making sure.
How old were we, or how old did it say we were?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No. We were of legal drinking age.
Yes.
But it was terrible being in the bar drinking, like watching you guys and like watching the conversation slowly degrade. You know, it's one of those surreal moments where it's like, oh, this is what it's like from the outside.
Yeah.
This is not as cool as you really think it is.
Yeah.
But I always forgot to make an exception for myself for St. Patrick's Day. Because
a dispensation?
If you say it in the beginning, you know, you can give up whatever you want. You can say, oh, I'm not going to drink on Tuesdays if that's what you want to do. You know, there's no rules. So if you say in the beginning, I'm giving up drinking except on St. Patrick's Day, then it's not cheating. But if you don't do that and then St. Patrick's Day comes and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to make an exception. Now you're just like, you can't, you know, now you're just making up exceptions. You can't be doing that.
Yeah.
So I always forgot.
If you are looking for something, you know, with Lent, we increase our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You know, everybody kind of forgets the almsgiving part. If you're looking to do some almsgiving, let me help you out. Become a friend of the show for the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah, give us your alms.
Yeah.
Support us.
Yeah, support us. And what the Friends of the Show is, of the Show is. I wanted to make sure it was is and not are, but I was throwing the friends and are.
Right, okay.
I wanted to make sure my vocabulary was correct. But what the Friends of the Show is people who wanted to support us. And what they do is they go to breadboxmedia.com. There's a Friends of the Show tab. They click on that, and they donate $10 a month to support our show.
And you get access to our private content. You can join our private Facebook group, which is awesome.
Oh, it is.
The private Facebook group
is
really
lit.
Is cool. It's the – dude, don't even do that. I have a story to tell about coffee that I'm pretty sure is accurate.
I'm pretty sure is accurate. Okay, go ahead.
I heard this listening to another Breadbox Media show, Counterposition.
Okay.
He talks about coffee a lot.
Because he owns a coffee shop.
Yeah, the point of his show, Counterposition, is like he's on the other side of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a coffee shop. So he was talking about, apparently there was a pope sometime who wrote an encyclical about coffee. Okay, back in the day, I believe during one of the Crusades, there was a lot of people, Christians, were like totally against coffee because the Muslims drank coffee because they don't drink. But they would drink coffee. So coffee was getting branded as a... Islamic drink, okay? And so as Christians, we don't want anything to do with that. And there were some people who tried to get the Pope to ban it. And so they took him. He said, well, let me try some. And he said he thought it was so good. He said something to the effect of, well, we should baptize this devil's, or we should take this devil's drink and baptize it and make it Christian. And so he did the opposite of what they wanted him to do. And he wrote an encyclical. This is, you know, as I recall the story, so don't, you know, don't quote me on any of these details.
We're going to get a lot of hate mail.
But this is just as I recall the story. He wrote an encyclical so that everybody knew coffee is legit. You can totally drink coffee.
That's interesting.
The popes have influenced many beverages over the years.
That is true. We also were, it's been like a really busy week for us. We were at Cooking Up Compassion last week, which is the Catholic Charities. Mm-hmm. We actually gave away a basket, a dinner for six.
Yep.
People can, whoever won, I'm not even sure who won. Do you remember?
Yeah, BJ.
BJ, that's right, Easton.
Mm-hmm.
BJ Easton, I think is his last
name.
He won, and so we're going to have a dinner with him and five of his buds and drink some beer and have fun. But we did that, and what else did we do? There was something else that we did this week, this last week.
Dude, I did so many things, like, I don't even know.
Okay.
It's a blur. It's just all a blur.
It's been a busy... we're hiring somebody for the radio station. That's what else I was going to say.
Yeah, that's true. We are doing that. If you have an expertise in fundraising and you need a job, let us know.
Okay, so when we get back, we're here with Steve Kunzweiler, which is the DA of Tulsa. We're going to get into the man gear and let Steve talk a little bit. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
The radio ruined glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles, and I would like to say good morning to all of our listeners in Japan.
Korea. Dude, tell them about what
you
message.
Oh, yeah. Well, we actually have
fans,
listeners in Korea.
Not
we,
fans,
we got,
but listeners.
I mean, we got listeners in all every area code,
yeah, dude,
you know what I'm
saying?
We'd
be like the Beatles if we went over to Korea.
That's why we don't do it.
Yeah, that's why we don't do
that's
it.
That's why we stay here.
Yeah.
But I got this message.
Not without coops.
I got this message from this guy. I haven't asked if I can use his name on the air, so I won't. But he's a U.S. airman over in Korea, and he was saying, like, hey, I just found your show. I love it. He said he's listening to, you know, like multiple episodes a day. And he told his pastor over there in Korea about the show, and he listened to it, and he loved it so much. In his homily at that weekend, he told everybody to listen to it.
So we do have new listeners from Korea.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to
but
say
it. But isn't it like Friday there?
Yeah.
In the land of tomorrow.
Right. It's Friday. Like, none of them are listening right
I wish
now. They're all sleeping.
Say hello in Korean.
I know.
I know how to in Chinese, but
is
not
it
Korean.
Mushy Mushy? Or is that Japanese?
No.
I just remember the song I learned in grade school. It was like, we learned how to say hello in all these different.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're digressing.
We are digressing.
Big time.
Okay, so the man gear of today is measuring tape.
Yes. I even brought one.
I almost brought mine because I've got a really good one.
Yeah, I like this one.
Okay. Adam, you're like a woodworker.
Well, amateur. Yeah.
That's why I said like a woodworker.
Right.
I didn't say you are a woodworker. But you're kind of like one.
Right.
What kind of things do you, like, what are the features you want in a measuring tape? In a tape measure.
So here's something that is new, like that's out that I don't even have one.
Cutting edge, huh?
But I really would like one.
Okay.
I haven't tried it out, but it looks really cool.
Tell
they
me.
Have a tape measure.
Does it have lasers?
No, it has a lead graphite in the tape measure where when you pull it out and wherever you need to, you just move the tape measure across the wood and that lead graphite makes the line for you. So it's like precise and all you have to do is just like go like that, boom, and it draws a line. Or you can go at a semicircle,
so it's
a
like
radius.
A pencil on the bottom.
So it's like a pencil on the bottom of the tape measure. So it's like you don't have to worry about getting it like an L out. And
because just a second ago, you said you just have to go like that.
Well, I was using it for the video.
You were just like kind of imagine moving the tape measure Okay, yeah. But the people who are listening.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the people who are listening.
Yeah. If only you guys were here, you'd really get a lot of.
And go to YouTube and watch it. but if you just go, take the tape measure across the wood, then the line goes with the tape measure to where it gets precise lines.
Yeah.
So I really would like one of those. That'd
or you
be
could just
cool.
Like measure it, kind of like make a mark.
Yeah, make little
right
marks
there,
all the way.
Measure again, make
a lot of times
mark.
You have to get like, okay, I need 6, 12, 18, 24.
Yeah.
And just make little lines as you're going. That'd be super cool.
I want a laser one. I don't know if like, I just really, if I could have an option for all of my tools to have a laser.
You want it?
I would do it.
Steve, what about you? What about you with the tape measure? Do you use one very often?
Yeah, I know we're talking to a radio audience, but you've made reference to the video audience. So I think it's
correct.
Important that if you're watching the video, like I said off air, I kind of feel like the Hobbit in the video.
It's so true.
They look like they are large, and I'm like this dwarf amongst the men. So from a tape measure perspective, I'm actually taller than these two.
Yeah, people. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, this must be a new
well
sensation
played.
For Steve.
Well,
like,
but yeah, because he's a tall man.
I'm not used to feeling so short. Yeah. And even in the video,
it's purposeful. You guys put up higher chairs. You yeah, put your guests
you
in a very
like
short
small,
chair, distant
we gave you
from
a small
the camera.
Chair.
And so now from a perspective. Of a measuring tape, it makes perfect sense to the listener that perhaps
and
he's a little bit mm-hmm. taller than he sounds on the radio.
Well
as,
played.
As I look, we're just using Adam's cell phone to record the video,
right?
And it's hard to really tell how far away he is in the video. He could be like 10 feet away. It's hard to say.
I'm like 30 feet away from you right now, at least
that's,
in the video.
That's how big he really is. I mean, he's
and the camera is distorting your size. You guys are really very small.
Well played.
So I looked up the history of a tape measure.
I did too. 1868 is whenever it had its first patent.
And it's like somewhat modern form.
Right.
Goes all the way back to the Romans.
They used to use leather.
Yeah. Marked leather. Scored
mm-hmm.
leather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of surprised. Like, I thought it would go back further than that. Like what?
Yeah.
Like what? What about the Egyptians?
Yeah, with the pyramids.
Yeah, you're trying to tell me that they built those pyramids
with limestone and they weren't using
without like a measuring
device.
You mean if leather counts, strips of leather,
mm-hmm.
then why not like rope?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, I just don't know.
I agree with you, Dave.
But it said the Romans started it.
I know, because I looked that up too.
Okay, I call it Boy Scouts on that.
Okay.
Boy Scouts. BS.
Okay.
Boy Scouts.
Gotcha. One of the things that I do like about the tape measure as well is that it goes with the measuring twice, cut once, as far as like in the woodworking world or the mm-hmm. construction world.
Right.
Which is mean, you know, you need to be precise. As a man, you have to be precise. You have to make sure that you're double checking what you're doing. You have to be focused. You have to be ready to make that cut, but you need to make sure that you follow up and be precise on your cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of measuring twice, cut once.
One thing I like about a feature I like in measuring tapes is where when you pull it out, the default is that it stays.
Stuck.
And then
there's a little trigger that I have on mine that's what that does.
So mine is like has a base that like if I push down on it. It will shoop and come back in. That's my retracting sound. That's what it sounds
okay.
like.
Okay.
It's exactly like that.
Okay.
So, but
in fact, it was. That wasn't even the sound effect.
That's right. Good point. But when I pull it out, it just stays there. You know, I like that
because
mm-hmm. I don't have to click. You know, the lockdown and. Mm-hmm. But the story about the guy who invented it, he made this flat metal tape stuff. It was originally his company made the frames for dresses back in the day. You know, like in, oh, what's that movie with Keira Knightley where it's like,
you're asking the wrong
it's like
person.
Jane Austen era. Okay. Well, you know, they
Pirates
had these.
Pirates of the Caribbean, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe same era, possibly. But, you know, they had these skirts that like had this big metal frame in it. And so.
Uh-huh.
They're like a big hoop skirt, and they, you know, the whole dress would kind of like move together as they danced. You know what I'm saying? Well, it had these flat metal frames, and so his company would make these flat metal pieces of tape. Well, then all of a sudden that dress style was no longer popular, and so he had all of this flat metal tape that he didn't know what to do with, and so he decided, I'm going to try to sell it to somebody else. And so he sold it to surveyors that they could wind up, and he marked it as a way of, like, for them to use, because apparently they were using chains to measure stuff at the time, and he was able to sell this as a much more lightweight alternative.
Right.
And he sold it for something like $300 each.
Wow.
It's like he sold them for $12 each, which is the equivalent today of $300 each.
Wow.
And so he ended up making way more money than what he was doing selling dresses in the first place.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how
impressive.
It started.
I've got a little more practical application for the tape measure. I mean, just from my years of experience being married and having kids. So one, if you're a dad, you probably ought to have like 5 or 6 tape measures, because 3 or 4 are going to get trashed by your kids at some point.
Yeah.
But the other practical application of it is you always want to be wearing that around the house. You don't let your wife touch it, because if she learns the mystique of the tape measure, she will start taking some of your manly jobs away from you.
So right. You always, you've only got so many things.
Exactly. And so the whole point is you make it like it's magical. You wear it on your hip whenever you're going to hang up a picture or something, and you make a big production out of it, because if you somehow allow the mystique of the tape measure to disappear, you're undermining the whole purpose of being a man. So.
Steve, that may be the best point that's ever been made on our show.
No, there's.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, there's. Trust me, you can have me on for a lot of different things. I'm actually trying to restore the manhood of men. I'm seeing too many guys wussing out, and so it's that practical advice of, you know, you gotta kind of hold secret what is a man's secret, and that's one of the man's secrets is the tape measure. You never ever let your wife actually handle the tape measure, because once she learns how it actually works, then you become irrelevant. So.
I mean, women have Jell-O. Nobody knows how that works. Okay.
I will say though, dude, have you ever hung up blinds?
Dude, yes.
Okay,
I think it's the worst.
People in purgatory are hanging up blinds all in purgatory, because it is a nightmare,
you know,
to
like
hang up blinds.
God's mansion has many, many rooms, and they have blinds. There's like 10 windows in every room.
Dude, I can't tell you how it took so much patience for me to hang up blinds in this house.
Oh, man.
When we bought this house, there's 0 blinds in every room, and so I had to go put up blinds.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm right there.
Oh, it was... Mm.
But Steve, that is good. I like that advice about having 5 or 6, because I'll tell you, I really only have one. I've got 2, but one of them is a piece of crap. And so I've got 1 real tape measure, and it's never where I am. Mm-hmm. And you get to that point where you're hanging, you know, you've got something, you're holding it up, and then you realize, oh,
I don't have one.
I need my tape measure right now. Ugh. You got to set everything down and, you know, go back and get it.
You're going to ruin it.
Oh, I'll have to say it on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Anyway, but if you have multiple tape measures, you can have them around the house.
All right. Dave is all excited because he had this epic thing he's going to drop a bomb on you guys right before the end of this. But
it'll work on the other side of the break.
All right.
It'll work.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back from that break. This is the Captain Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles and our guest, Mr. Steve Kunzweiler, the Tulsa DA. We've been drinking coffee because it's Lent now, and so we're non-alcoholic beverage. Just got done talking about the tape measure. Dave, I'll let you go ahead and I'll tee it up for you on what you were wanting to say.
I just want to say that this coffee is fantastic,
because it's
Mystic Monk coffee, and I've had nothing but water and some a few bites of dirt.
Mud pies?
Yeah, so this coffee is just phenomenal.
Great. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I mean, my holiness is just incredible.
Peaking?
It is incredible.
Is it peaking?
My holiness is incredible.
Okay.
we're going to talk about justice.
Yeah.
We have the district attorney with us.
Right.
And so
it makes sense.
We're going to, like, just get crazy with
Dave,
the justice.
Why did we pick the tape measure as a man gear?
Because, fantastic question, Adam.
Thank you.
That is a great question. Let me tell you.
Okay.
Because.
Enlighten me.
In Isaiah. Give me
the tale of the tape.
Let me see what verse it is. I know it's verse 17.
Did you see what I did there? You didn't even.
Yeah, dude.
That
I mean,
pun.
It was super punny. Okay. Isaiah 28, verse 17 says, I'll make justice the measuring stick and righteousness the plumb line for the building. That's what it says. And it keeps going on about other stuff. But justice is the measuring stick.
Boom.
Boom, right? Oh, it's so good.
So I think that before, I think we need to define justice, and I'll let you do that here in just a second.
I'm gonna totally do that.
But you know what I think is interesting is that the virtue of justice is one of the first things I think as human beings we recognize.
Dude, I was totally going to say that at some point. Like, well, I was thinking about that today as I was pondering things.
Well, let me pick it up.
Okay.
Okay. So my son, Luke, he's almost four, and he goes to preschool. And one of the first things he, like, came back from preschool, you know, they go to preschool and they learn new things from different kids, and they come back and they say new things, and you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
One of those things was he came back and said, well, that's not fair.
Right, that's not fair.
That's not fair. And so at some point, you know, he was 3.5 years old, and he realized, you know, there's some justice that he's not receiving what is due to him,
mm-hmm.
or at least in his mind, that's not
yeah,
due to
him.
Yeah,
it's like, and they pick it up at a super young age, like,
yeah.
There's something inherent about
in fact,
us, like,
it
deep
could
down.
Be, I don't know, it could be one of the first virtues that you learn.
Or that you know is being violated.
But,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like something about you, it's just like, hey, this is not right.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Okay, I'll let you define it. And
so,
then tee it up for
I want
Steve.
You to guess, both of you, take a guess.
Okay.
How many types of justice are there?
I'm going to say three.
Four.
Four?
I knew Steve would get it. There's original justice.
Right.
Which refers to the state of holiness in which God created our first parents.
Right.
There is commutative justice.
And legal justice.
Which, and there's one more after that, but commutative justice obliges the respect for the rights of the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's required by the seventh commandment.
And then what?
There's legal justice, which concerns what the citizen owes the community. And then there's distributive justice, which regulates what the community owes its citizens.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that one.
What's your favorite? Steve, do you have a favorite?
I'd say distributive justice.
Yeah.
As a DA.
I figured that would be your favorite. That's my favorite, too, because that's when I get stuff. But justice is a cardinal moral virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, Thomas Aquinas, he defined it a lot, but it's the best definition is something along the lines of having the habit of rendering to others their due. So it's not just doing it once. That's not the virtue of justice. That may be an act, one just act you did, but that doesn't make you a just person.
Mm-hmm.
So you become a just person when you develop the virtue, which is having the habit. You know,
right.
So it's something that you do.
So that's like, you're talking about natural justice.
I'm talking about
a natural virtue.
I'm talking about the virtue of justice.
Right. Well, I mean, there's like a natural virtue of justice, which is what you're talking about, and then like an infused virtue of justice, which is what, you know, like the like given to us through the sacraments and infused grace.
Yeah. Okay.
That,
you're like skipping a bunch of pages.
Oh,
you know,
sorry.
Like,
I'm sorry.
You know, start small, then you build up. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just talking about basic the virtue of justice.
Spoiler alert, I didn't read the email Dave sent over, so.
Well, that's not really any pages I'm referring to. I
okay.
was just meaning metaphorically you skipped pages.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But, so yeah, it's having the habit. And that's really true with any virtue. It's like, okay, you know, the virtue of honesty or truthfulness, which is a sub-virtue of justice, actually. Justice has several sub-virtues, which we'll get into that in maybe another episode. But if you tell the truth one time, that doesn't mean, oh, you have the virtue of honesty or truthfulness. You have that virtue when you have the habit of telling the truth. You know, when you do it, you don't have to think about whether or not you should tell the truth. You just instinctively tell the truth because you've developed the virtue. So that's kind of the difference between a virtue and not a virtue. What would be the opposite of absence of virtue? Whatever it is. So that's what justice is. The habit of rendering others their due.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I felt pretty good about it, not going to lie.
That's well stated.
Yeah. So
actually, you know, I wanted to kind of say something about what you're talking about there because it touches on kind of what I do with witnesses. Because I really think truth is at the core of justice. Actually, I think truth is, in my opinion, working as a prosecutor and just being a Catholic, I almost think truth is the most valuable of all possessions. And I try to explain that, especially when I have witnesses and who are kids, because you're always saying, you know, before they get up on the stand, hey, what's the most important thing you got to do? And you take the stand and, you know, you always tell them, just tell the truth, tell the truth. But I don't know that they grasp that unless you give them some kind of practical example. So what I typically will do in talking with any witness, especially kids, I'll say, hey, you know, when you were born, did you have anything on you when you came out of your mama's tummy? You know, most kids are like, well, no, that's right. You know, you're born butt naked. I said, but over time, do you get stuff? And they'll say, yeah. And I said, yeah, I do too. I get this cool watch. I get these boots. I have a truck. I got a house. I get
tape measure.
Yeah, a tape measure. I get to accumulate stuff. And then I will ask them, all right, so when you die, do you get to take any of this stuff that you gathered in your lifetime? Do you get to take any of that stuff with you to the next spot? And 99% will say no. And I say, well, actually, I agree with you, except there's one thing you do get to take with you. Do you know what that is? And a lot of them are like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, well, I think what you get to take is what is uniquely yours, and that's truth. And why I say it's uniquely yours is I think embedded within every human being is a true sense of right and wrong. It's the one window that you have between yourself and God. Right now, as I'm talking with you guys at the radio show, God knows whether I'm blowing smoke at you or not, right? He knows whether I'm being honest and saying the truth or whether I'm just creating up some crazy story. And I think when I die, I'm going to be measured based upon my truth. You know, was I truthful? Was I honest in every single interaction in life? And so what I encourage these kids to do is say, you know, possessions will come and go, but the most important possession you're ever going to have is truth. Did you speak with your friend, your neighbor, your parents, your loved one? Did you tell them the truth in every instance, or did you not? Now, you will know if you were being dishonest or not, but the only other person who knows it is the guy right upstairs. So I always say I envision when I die, it's going to be like, you know, I could be doing this show with you right now and blank out, and then I wake up and I'm in a white room, and here comes Jesus, and there's a table with a DVD player on it, and he's got a DVD with the life of Steve Koonsweiler on it.
I got to tell you, Steve, that would be the most manly way to go.
Yeah,
being
well,
on
to
the,
die
being
on,
the
on the show.
Show.
Right, right. Agreed.
He left it all on the table.
Yeah, Steve, he was here, and then he was gone. But no, but my point was, you know, when I have that conversation with God, I'm confident, you know, he'll say, well, I liked what you did there. I don't know what you were doing there, and I really didn't like what you were doing there. And the whole concept is to try and eliminate all the I don't know what you're doings or I didn't like what you're doing. And so when I'm talking with these young kids, I'm like, you have got to protect truth because that will be the measuring stick upon which you're
right.
going to be judged. And justice necessarily has a judging component from it. the ultimate judge will be God, but we amongst ourselves are going to judge each other all the time, and we're going to gauge that on whether or not there's truth behind what we speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that a lot of times justice right now has this like stain to it because people associate also they hear like social justice warriors.
Yes.
Which like just drives me crazy. So when they think of justice, they think of a really perverted way of what justice really is.
I don't even want to talk about.
Okay.
SJWs.
Okay. We won't go there then. We're almost at the break, so we don't have to.
I don't want to have to throw up at the break.
Okay. Well, that's not justice.
No. And they're not warriors either. They're a bunch of crybabies.
It's not,
is what they are.
It's not regarding in truth or charity.
No. But they've been manipulated into believing something that's not true.
That's correct.
Anyway.
Okay. Well,
on the other side of the break, about to get heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
The Raise Your Glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. In studio, Adam Minahan and Steve Kunzweiler, district attorney.
Catholic man.
Of the Tulsa Diocese.
And a Catholic man.
Can I say that? Can I say you're the district attorney of the Tulsa Diocese?
I prefer that, actually.
Okay. Yes. So we're talking about justice today. We're drinking some Mystic Monk coffee because it is Lent, and we're suffering greatly. For your sins. We're doing it for you. It's a lot of suffering going on over here.
We have a lot of sinners that are listening.
And I want to read this by Pope Francis.
No.
Pope Benedict.
Benedict.
Thank you. Or Father Benedict, as he says he wants to be called, but nobody's doing that. He's like, yeah, listen, we're not doing that. You're Pope Francis.
Nope.
Oh, why I did it again. You're Pope Benedict, our German shepherd. But he says, when he's talking about justice, he says, the just ordering of society and the state, let me start over. The just ordering of society and the state is a central responsibility of politics. As Augustine once said, a state that is not governed according to justice would be just a bunch of thieves. Justice is both the aim and the intrinsic criterion of all politics. Politics is more than a mere mechanism for defining the rules for the public life. Its origin and its goals are found in justice, whereby its very nature has to do with ethics. Okay, justice, ethics. The state must inevitably face the question of how justice can be achieved here and now.
I sure wish a lot of our people in public office would read that, maybe once a day. Maybe that's how they should start their day.
Well, getting reelected is clearly more important than all of these
ethics,
old these, you know, old ideas of ethics and justice.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm running in 2 years, just in case you.
Yeah, and you, and I'm sure you're going to get reelected. You
this
know?
Is really going to help as well. If you get reelected, it's definitely because of the Catholic Man Show.
Yep, that's probably true. It would. It's only just. To
take credit
to give
for
each
for
give
what
each his
do.
Due and
hey, can I speak to what you just read there? I want to. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. I had this great judge up in Nowata County. He was a Catholic. His name's James Sontag, and he used to pepper me with a lot of questions about actually being a prosecutor. And this is when I was a young prosecutor. And one time he hit me up with a question I couldn't answer, which was, "What was the role of a prosecutor?" And I gave him standard answers you'd expect, like, you know, I read police reports and make determinations of what charge to file. And he's like, no, that's not right. And then I went with, I know the rules of evidence and I know how to put witnesses on stand. No, that's not right. And I gave him a lot of superficial answers. And he finally confronted me with the realization that I had as a young man that I probably really didn't appreciate or understand the role of being a prosecutor. And in many respects, it's a very powerful position because with the stroke of my pen, I can alter the trajectory of a person's life. And he told me that the role of a prosecutor was to teach people the morals they either never learned or they forgot. And hearing that, I went home to my wife, had a couple of young kids at the time. Sandra and Jenny were 4 and 2. And I was like, gosh, this judge wants me to be some kind of moral teacher. And I just don't understand that. But I think his point, which he never really explained, but I think the whole point of it was to force me into really thinking, what am I doing as a prosecutor? In many respects, just what you read with Pope Benedict is right on point from a political standpoint or from a power standpoint, which is what most politicians are in. You have the ability to control people's lives and their destinies.
Yeah.
And what he was, I think, trying to ingrain in me was you cannot cookie cutter any human being. You just can't sit there and say, well, this guy, because he's in front of me, I'm going to treat him the same way I treated this last guy. You know, there are people who literally can come before court who may have come from a background or an environment that they had no real appreciation for how wrong their conduct might impact other human beings.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to convince me that I have to really figure out, where's this dude coming from and what's the best measure of justice, kind of like you were saying earlier with the quote from Isaiah. You know, the mercy that you show from the justice you're trying to impart is going to dictate the outcome of that person over a lifetime. You know, do I just pound that guy into the sand because he's an idiot and driving drunk and could risk hurting your family or my family? Or do I try and make sure that he understands, all right, this kind of conduct is not to be liked, you know, it's to be frowned on, and here are kind of the reasons that we go through that.
So right.
In many respects.
What did he say?
He left that with me.
He didn't give you the answer.
It was a very kind of almost a rhetorical question, which was, you know, Steve, you need to look at yourself to figure out, you know, how are you dealing with your fellow human beings, right?
Right.
And if you're just going to go approach them as though they're just, you know, a name on a piece of paper, then you're missing the whole point of justice. You're missing the whole point of being a prosecutor. You're missing the whole point of trying to protect the public, because there are some people who I've got to get off the streets and keep them off the streets. But the overwhelming majority of people I deal with, I mean, they're caught up in drugs and alcohol, or, you know, they come from broken families. They may have very poor education. They may live in neighborhoods in which survival is the only thing they think about from day to day. And my job is to try and say, all right, there is a better life out there. It doesn't involve breaking the law. And how can I pull you out of this mess that you're in so that you can appreciate what you need to be imparting on your kids? And so for me, with my two young girls at the time, I kind of looked at it from a disciplinary standpoint. You know, when you're raising your children, it's either a lecture, a grounding, or a spanking, right? I mean, if you don't talk to your kids, that's not parenting. If you beat your kids, that's not parenting. So in the range of how you teach lessons to your kids, you either have to decide for any particular offense, am I just going to talk with this kid and impact that child, this is not how we do things, or do I go straight to the spanking? Because, you know, good Lord, you know, that's something that we never do. And mm-hmm. in criminal justice, in many respects, it's like that. You molest a child, that's a pretty easy, that's a spanking, you know. There's no discussion for that.
Right.
But, you know, you catch some guy that's got dope in his pocket, many times it's like, all right, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this is not going to help you in your life. It's only going to cloud your decisions for the future. And the more you get caught up in drugs and alcohol, the worse your life's going to be. And so that's more of a lecture. And then there's that middle crowd that you got to constantly deal with, like a grounding, which is, all right, probably going to have to put you in a jail cell for a while until you start thinking about how your actions are impacting other people.
So, right. Yeah. And, you know, I really like that story, and there's so many elements of justice in the legal system that I think people have forgotten about, or they just don't think about anymore. And one of those is that the law is supposed to be a moral teacher. You know, this is a taboo subject to think that morals should play a role in a courtroom today. But if you go back and read old court cases, even some of the famous ones regarding marriage or abortion, morals are a subject of debate, and they're not necessarily a religious, you know, they're not defined by any religion, but morals were just, seemed to be this thing that people knew and understood.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, how hard is it to understand you shouldn't be killing somebody? How hard is it to understand you don't take their stuff, right?
Right.
Those are simple concepts. I think, you know, unfortunately, there are going to people that are always going to try and somehow blur that line.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes necessarily. I mean, if you kill another human being, intrinsically, you'd say that's wrong. But if that human being was attacking you, you had a right to defend yourself. So there's always going to be some give and take in certain functions. But in the end, kind of like what we've been talking about, justice has got to be centered within yourself. You have to have a true understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And kind of like that quote from Pope Benedict that you were talking about, one of the other things he was talking about is, you know, in order to do it right, you always have to be focused on the here and now. You can't always say, well, that's the way we did it in the old days. You got to always be constantly reevaluating yourself and how you reason through it, because you can fall into such a comfort zone where just because you're in a position of power or just because you're in a better position than the person you're accusing of committing a crime doesn't mean that necessarily you're right. So you always, there's constantly, I guess what I would say, an examination of conscience when it comes to how are you dealing with what's right in front of you today. You know, and for me, what's right in front of me is I've got a population out there that has some real addiction issues with certain drugs, and I also have a kind of a spike in issues with mental health. You know, can I treat these people like I might have treated somebody 20 years ago where we didn't have those issues? No, I've got to now spend time looking and saying, all right, is it the drugs or the mental illness that's affecting how you're doing it? You know, we got guys who are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're getting caught up in some criminal conduct, not necessarily because they're bad people, but because of what they've been exposed to. So justice in many respects, I think, has to be looking at mercy as well.
So I have a quick question for you. In the last administration, the lady who was supposed to be, you know, helping Obama execute, you know, enforce laws, she decided there were some laws she wasn't going to enforce. As a DA, is that even a, do you have, can you do that? I mean, do you have the right to do that?
Well, no, as an elected official, you know, I'm sworn to uphold the Constitution, the state of Oklahoma and the United States. So
it's an unjust law.
Well, you know, if I'm put in a position where it challenges my conscience, I certainly can exercise that.
Okay.
But you know, it's not my call.
Right. Importance of electing good officials.
That's right.
All right, so we have been talking about justice. We had Mist and Monk Coffee. Man here was the Tape Measure. We're here with Steve Kunstweiler, District Attorney of Tulsa, the Diocese of Tulsa. Anything else?
I'm Adam Minahan.
This is Adam Minahan.
And this is David Niles.
I'm David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.